Active like your favorite pair of old sneaks. Incredibly comfortable, but smelly as hell. Ugh. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd, Chris on the other side of the glass. It is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida, rolling through a Tuesday. Sean Payton is speaking to the media right now. He is amazing. Stepping down as the head coach of the Saints. We'll get to that. We'll hear from Urban Meyer and who he blames for his demise in Jacksonville. We'll hear from AB, did an interview with HBO. But, whoa, it's already past 7 minutes past the hour. That means it's time for a SportsCenter rundown. Still on time, mind you. Here's Chris.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
Sean Payton has informed the New Orleans Saints he is stepping away. He's actually doing his retirement press conference right now. The Chicago Bears are hiring Chiefs Assistant Director of Player Personnel Ryan Poles to be their next GM. He was also a finalist for the Vikings GM position. Tonight in the NBA, we got 9 games. The doubleheader on TNT starts at 7:30. Lakers at Nets. Then at 10 o'clock, the Mavs go to San Fran to take on the Warriors. The Panthers are on the ice in Winnipeg. Puck drop at 8.
All right. Sean Payton's been doing his thing for about 7 minutes now, which means we missed the who, what, where, why. Have you been, Chris, you were listening to some of it. Was he saying anything?
I listened to all of it so far.
What do you got? What's he say? Anything interesting? Do we want to listen? Do we want to eavesdrop for a couple minutes off the NFL Network?
Why not? Right, well, it's on ESPN right now, too.
No, I'll do that. Let's take a listen. Here's Sean Payton.
Those roots for me, or those bloodlines for me, as I look back on it, were extremely, extremely important. And I just met with our staff and I told our young coaches, man, you have your feet grounded in, you know, in the job you have. And these things that you want very fast will happen, but they may not happen in the timing that you want them. But the point I'm making about Dennis is it's like a good baseball team right up the middle, from the catcher to the pitcher to the infield to the outfield. We were always in concert. It didn't mean we always agreed, but we were always in concert. And for a first-time head coach 16 years ago, that was important, and more important now that I look back on it than I ever realized. And so I thank you and appreciate you. We had a lot of trips. We had fun trips, crazy trips, where the very first year before we drafted Reggie Bush, we were out selling tickets and listening to 80s music and trying to figure out who knew the words. And then when we drafted Reggie Bush, we sold out. And I'm like, thank God we don't have to go on those, like, those freaking ticket bandwagon drives. We've been sold out ever since. Mickey Loomis, a dear friend. I would say, more importantly, a friend, just as importantly, my general manager, and just as importantly, the person that gave me this opportunity. You know, he took a chance on a first-time head coach, and you guys know kind of the batting average and the challenges for these positions. They're hard. Every year we're reminded of that. And I've written about this. I've spoken about it. And look, I had just interviewed in Green Bay with the late Ted Thompson. Man, I thought I had a great interview. And when I landed here, it was right after Katrina in January. And many of you remember that. And I just thought, when I met Mickey, I thought, man, I like this guy. He's got a heck of a task ahead of him. And I kept looking at my flip phone at the time, waiting for that Green Bay area code to come in. And I got the message that evening that they had gone in a different direction, and I remember just throwing the phone into the pillow and thinking, holy cow. And it was the best thing that happened. And sometimes, again, you don't have any control over that. And so He trusted his gut. And beyond just hiring me, I can't think, we've had disagreements multiple times, and yet we've always been in concert. And so, like, one of my biggest, not concerns, but one of my biggest second thoughts was, man, I don't want to not be around this really, really good friend of mine. And so, that's not going to happen. I mean, I'm actually moving into another property here locally, but more than my general manager, more than the person that hired me, more than all of those things, is, I would say, one of my best friends, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Sean Payton holding a press conference right now, stepping away from his job as head coach of the Saints.
Stories that would be interesting because our personalities are so different. Like, he walks slow. It bothers me. I want him to pick it up. When you make a decision like this, you spend time with your loved ones. You spend time with your family. I've got, a daughter who's out west in media trying to become what many of you are, and a son who's in college. A wife, Skyline, who we've been together for many years, 10 years, and got married last June. And I've confided in those guys quite a bit and talked about these decisions quite a bit. And I appreciate them. And they've been extremely just good listeners, because ultimately, like, we all want happiness for our friends. We want happiness and health for our friends and family. Those are the two things I think about maybe as I've grown older. If your children are happy and healthy, then you're blessed, I think. And so I feel like there's been a very steady listening group here. And, without any angle relative to, hey, what is it that you're looking for? Because honestly, as I sit here today, and this is okay, I don't know what's next. And look, I read the reports and I understand. I've not spoken to anyone from a media outlet relative to doing television or radio. Maybe that opportunity arises. But every time I read something that says, like, he's in line for this job, I'll call my agent, Don, and I'll say, Don, did you hear something? Because I have not heard anything. And that's okay. I think I'd like to do that. I think I'd be pretty good at it. But so stepping outside, like, in the cold weather today and being a little uncomfortable professionally or from a career standpoint is okay. I don't like the word retirement. Mr. B didn't like it either. He always said, retirement's overrated. We get sold this whole image of retirement by these investment groups on TV and golf courses and retirement. I still have a vision for doing things in football. And I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future, but that's not where my heart is right now.
All right, that is Sean Payton, the former head coach of the New Orleans Saints, one-time Super Bowl winner there, and a lot to chew on from his friendship with GM Mickey Loomis. He is staying in New Orleans. I speculated earlier, wanted to know if he was going to move to the Dallas area, and nothing firm as far as any media jobs, but he thinks he'd be good at it and seemed open to the opportunity. Now, Pete, you heard the first couple minutes while we were away at break. Anything did he add on in his opening statement that we should discuss, or what you or Chris
heard? Most important thing, first of all, he said that this press conference is going to take a while because he's not going anywhere, and he was going to stay and first and thank everybody and mention everybody he could, and then was going to take every single question from the media. Didn't care how long it took. Mm-hmm. But one of the most really outstanding, which is why he's already been at the top of my list as great head coaches, but now he's right up there. Mm-hmm. in a Ted Lasso nod, he presented owner Gail Benson. He spoke for like 3 minutes. Then he presented owner Gail Benson with a king cake, mentioning Ted Lasso, that we don't do biscuits in New Orleans, but gave her a king cake and said he brought about 100 for all the media and others in the room for his goodbye press conference.
Wow.
Outstanding Ted Lasso reference.
Yeah. I like that. Very good.
You ever have king cake? I love it.
It comes out around Ash Wednesday every year. I've had it. Yeah. I don't love it, but
it reminds me of my mom. My mom used to make coffee cake from scratch. I know it's like part coffee cake, but it has the green or the
purple
the Easter
and green
color.
And then isn't there
the
always
baby.
Is there the baby in the middle?
The baby. Yeah.
I would bite down at it and wreck my teeth.
It's good luck if you get the baby.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. Or bad luck.
I think it's good luck to get the baby. I think.
Okay.
But outstanding Ted Lasso moment. That was beautiful.
That is good. That's good. Chris, any observations from you from what you were able to hear during the break? Same thing, basically?
Yeah. I was surprised to hear that he's staying in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of with you. I thought he would go back to Dallas, the greater Dallas area.
Yeah. All right. Well, and he's going to be up there for a while, but interesting, interesting conversation. All right. Any reaction to that at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776?
To your point, he told his staff he sold his house in uptown New Orleans and plans to move into his downtown condo.
Oh, so not getting a bigger mansion. Kind of sounds like he's downsizing a little bit. He can do whatever he wants with that kind of money he's made over the last
year. I've seen some condos that look like mansions. They're called condos, but they're really not condos.
Yeah.
It is strange that he's burnt out or, whatever he said. It doesn't love the coaching aspect of it anymore. Yeah, he's been the coach there for 16 years, but what was it, 7 years ago when he served that season-long suspension? So you would think that would sort of rejuvenate him and get him it back, reignite the candle that burns.
He's also had flame. He's had COVID twice in the last 18 months. He was one of the first ones to get it. And not that maybe had anything to do, but I think coaching in this COVID world is a little tiresome. All the rules, all the testing, all the separation, all that going on, that would burn me out. It's burned me out. It's burned a lot of people out.
I take everything he says to heart, and I understand it, but you cannot tell me, honestly, that if this team weren't $75 million plus over the cap, if they were, say, $30 million under, does that make a difference? I say yes.
I agree with you.
I think that it's that paired with the fact that there is serious uncertainty at quarterback for that franchise.
Yeah. But that could have been resolved, or at least you'd have a better shot if you were $30 million under instead of $75 million over.
Absolutely.
And he said, look, this doesn't mean I'm done with coaching. I don't think I'll coach this year. Okay.
Yeah.
Fast forward. Dallas is set at quarterback. If that's where we have him going. All right. You got Dak Prescott in the NFC East. That's a lot better than Taysom Hill or whatever, Trevor Siemian. So that's solved. He's going to have his pick of whatever job he wants. He can take a good job. He doesn't have to take a crappy organization that just fired their coach for winning three games.
No.
Whatever he wants.
He'll have a lot of options. And this is the other thing that I thought was insightful, that he interviewed for the Green Bay job, the head coaching job in 06, and then went to New Orleans for that interview, and the only thing he thought about was the Green Bay job. He threw his phone when he found out Mike McCarthy got the job. He said it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
It all comes full circle because he's going to replace Mike McCarthy next year, in my opinion.
You're right. Circle of life.
That's right.
Can hear Elton John now.
Yeah, no question. Wow.
But he's under contract with the Saints through 2024. If another team has aspirations of Peyton becoming the next head coach, it'll take agreed-upon trade compensation, as we talked about, from New Orleans to become finalized, which is not uncommon.
But next offseason, if you're New Orleans, it's like found money in the couch, right?
Yeah.
He's not there anyway. If you can get a third-rounder for him, second-rounder for him, okay, great. Awesome. Add a guy to our roster.
Yeah,
cheap player.
And if you're New Orleans, you can't. If it's not a Super Bowl caliber defense, it's pretty close to an excellent defense. You can't tank it or anything. I mean, you can't tank, at least not on purpose that I see. But they are going to have to decide. I don't know what they're going to do to to get out of this salary cap hellhole that they're in of 75 plus million.
Well, you strip it down, and they're going to be like the worst team in the league.
And you say they can't take it, tank it. I think they can.
They can. I mean,
you look around at it, you say, okay, even because I think the Bucks are a better team next year. Brady or you know, average run of the mill NFL quarterback. I think that they're still a better team than the Saints top to bottom, even if they don't bring back Chris Godwin. You know, I think that there's still enough there. Take next year, lick your wounds, get the salary cap back, you know, back under control, kind of like what the Patriots did in 2020, Pete, where you just say, okay, we've got to hit the reset button, let these expiring contracts expire, quit kicking the can down the road because we think we're in win now mode. Take 1 year, we'll see what happens, and then we can go all in the following offseason and really push our chips to the center of the table and try to rebuild on the fly.
Yeah.
Crystal ball, I must tell you, I love that analogy.
Of course, it's something that I
did not think of, and I think you're dead on balls accurate with that one, as Mona Lisa Vito would say. That's an excellent analogy. Yeah, and if they get to 7 wins, they go 7-10. It's probably a good thing, and then they recoup from there. Yeah, I like that a lot.
All right, I want to squeeze in. We have some time here. All right, I want a
few minutes.
Should we take a break?
We got Brad coming up.
Oh. I don't have time then to play the Urban Meyer.
Not all of it.
No, we will, though. We got to get to Urban Meyer. Are we going to be able to play the AB stuff, Chris?
We've got enough time to play that right now if you just want to play AB.
Let's play AB here in its entirety. All right. It's a couple minutes?
Yeah, 2:43, I think.
Okay, and then we'll talk with Brad Ralph of the Everblades, and then we'll play some Urban Meyer and Wikipedia and a lot of good stuff coming up. All right, are we queued up or on the fly here?
This one comes off of this computer. Okay.
All right. Standing by.
Prior to the game on January 2nd, the game against the New York Jets at the Meadowlands, were you given shots of Toradol?
Absolutely. Right before the game, I was given Toradol.
We actually have, Bryant, in the medical records that we've reviewed, evidence that the team regularly injected Antonio with Toradol, so he couldn't feel the damage that he was doing to his ankle until it got to that threshold point where he told his coach, Coach, I can't play because of my ankle. And the coach's response to that was, get the F off the field.
Okay, so the Bucs shot you with Toradol in the week before the Carolina game, correct?
Absolutely.
They shot you again before the Jets game, correct?
Absolutely.
And you played the first half and had 3 catches for 26 yards, correct?
Yes.
And Arians claims that at halftime then, you were upset about not getting more balls thrown your way. True or false? Is he lying?
False. It's not worrying about the ball. Tom Brady is my guy. He's the reason I'm on Tampa Bay, so I know I'm going to get the ball.
Antonio, I saw where you seem to resent the feelings of so many former coaches and teammates that you were in need of mental assistance. Does that bother you?
Mental assistance from who?
Professional assistance.
To the extent any of that is coming from a spin that Antonio had a spontaneous mental episode, it's resentful and it's hurtful, and it's a disservice to people who do suffer from mental health challenges. We all have our difficulties, Antonio, myself, everybody.
Yeah, these guys at Tampa Bay Bucks try to make an agreement with me to give me $200,000 to go to the crazy house so these guys could look like they know what they're talking about. These guys are professional.
Wait.
They treated me wrong.
They offered you $200,000 for what?
The offer was Antonio would basically sit on the sidelines, go on some list, and commit himself to some form of intensive mental health treatment. And we were specifically told in writing by the general manager twice, don't spin this any other way.
Antonio, do you think you need mental help of any kind?
I have mental wealth, man. I know a lot of people may not understand me or know how I look at things or don't know how I react emotional things, but it's not for them to understand me. You know, I got a beautiful family, kids, and people all across the world that look up to me. And it's no reason I'm in this position at this point, you know.
Well, a lot to unpack there. By the way, who looks up to AB? He says everybody around the world looks up to me.
He is such a fraud, and if Bernstein wasn't there to bail his sorry ass out, I would have loved to seen him answer a couple of those questions himself without his lawyer playing the role of Tom Hagen saying, I can answer that. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. Nobody believes that you know what word out of this guy's mouth. So please, I credit the Bucks for trying to get him help for $200,000.
You almost slipped.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this place, if they offer me $200,000 to go see a shrink, I'd do it.
And then he says he offered me to go to the crazy house. Way to be sensitive, AB.
Yeah, the
crazy house. I wish Brian Gumbel, and maybe he does in the bigger picture, throws back in his face everything that he has done and been charged with. You know, and not just sit there and go, oh, okay. Don't let him off the hook about throwing the couch off the building, about the sexual assault allegations and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
I hope that comes up in this interview. Otherwise, what a waste of time.
All right, we're a little pressed on time ourselves. We'll jump back on that. We'll hear from Urban Meyer, Brad Ralph of the Everblades, Wikipedia around the corner, and more. Scheman and Shepard here on ESPN Southwest Florida. Don't forget, if you need insurance of any kind, I cannot recommend enough, Damon Brist Farmers Insurance. Bundle and save for whatever 2022 throws your way. Your home, your flood, your cars, everything. He is the fastest growing, one of the fastest growing agents in the entire country, but a local guy right here in Southwest Florida. Started about 2 years ago. You guys have made him just been great, jumping on board with being his clients. I am a client. I send all my insurance to him. I save money. I get better coverage. You can do the same. I wouldn't recommend it if I wasn't doing it myself. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. Call him up, 239-202-2933, 239-202-2933. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. Have you switched yet?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Scheman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. It's time for our regular visit with Brad Ralph of the Everblades. They've got, four games in 5 days. Just a brutal stretch of the schedule. Mm-hmm. He's with us right now. Coach, how are you?
Hey, guys. Coach? I'm doing fine, thanks.
Good, good. You know, we were, just to make a football comparison, we were just watching Sean Payton, who has just announced that he is stepping down as the head coach of the Saints of his own free will and volition. I don't know if he's burnt out or what. You coaches, you have a lifestyle. It's kind of a grind. How do you stay sharp mentally? And I don't know what your long-term career goals are, but this is a guy that just stepped away after 16 years. How do you kind of approach the mental grind of your profession?
Yeah, it's a real thing. You know, the lifestyle and the day spent on the road away from your family, it can be tough. But and I just love to compete. I think I'm very fortunate that I get to coach and, vent my my competitiveness through hockey and coaching. There's really two things in my life, just family and hockey. So I don't know what else I'd do if I didn't have hockey. So it's I'm all in. I'm not going anywhere.
Hey, Coach, wanted to ask you, speaking of spreading it around, your team certainly did do that. You didn't win every game last week, but you had 13 different players get at least 1 point. I know Blake had four, had a goal and three assists. But happy overall with the way things went in those three games? I know you always want to win every game, but spreading it around, pretty good.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride here the last probably 5 weeks. We had Christmas break, and then we had a number of COVID outbreaks that sidelined us and didn't allow us to practice. And then we had our All-Star break. So it's been a whirlwind, but things are finally starting to normalize. Everyone's healthy, and we're in a real good spot. We're able to practice a couple times this week. So that's been nice just to, work on what we need to work on, have the meetings we need to work on. In order to get back to, just our winning ways. So we've done a great job here over this tough stretch of finding ways to get the job done. And, last weekend it was, certainly an emotional battle against Atlanta. A lot of penalties, a lot of special team battles. But yeah, it was great to win on Saturday night. It was a 3-2 victory at home with a huge crowd. I think there were like 6,000 people there. So it was really nice to send them home happy.
Yeah, you guys have been drawing some nice crowds. The last couple times you've been on, you've mentioned the COVID. I myself just went through it about a week and a half ago, and I'm just curious. It seemed like even after I was through it, the energy levels were way down. And, you know, I was wondering if you guys experienced the same thing. You happen to be a professional athlete, your team, and going out there and playing. I mean, after COVID's over, it seems like it's still kind of – there's a fog that hangs around, a little fatigue that hangs around, at least in my case. How about you guys?
Yeah, I had it too. And I had COVID brain there for a couple weeks after. I think luckily my players, you know, they're a little younger. They seem to recover a little faster. And I remember as a player, it's almost like you feel almost like superhuman when you're playing. You're just young and your body's recovering at a phenomenal rate. So we, you know, fortunately we haven't had too many players have any lingering effects. And in terms of the fatigue, you know, players, like, they live in that fatigue state. It's, you know, when you're playing three games a week, you know, you go to the point of exhaustion every shift. It's taxing on them. So they probably don't even know what normal feels like. But I do know they're starting to, you know, we're starting to come around. So that's a great sign. And So,
well, one of your newbie, Avery Peterson, led the club with a couple of goals last weekend. And you also have a new player this week in TJ Fergus.
Yeah, so Avery Peterson, we traded for him last summer. You know, he bounced around the American League for a little bit, went to Germany for a hot coffee there, and came back. But he, you know, he's huge for our team. He's 6'3". He's a good skater. He's got a great skill set, and he's got a knack for scoring goals. So he scored a huge tying goal for us on Saturday. So he'll be a big addition for us moving forward and in the playoffs. And then, I think we've got the goaltending. I think we've got the forward group. Probably our weakness would be on defense, and we're trying to just round out our defensive core. We're young. Yeah. I think right now we've got 7 rookies. So, you know, that's not necessarily a great recipe for a team to go deep into playoffs. So we're going to be tinkering with our D to make sure that we're giving us every chance we can get to win a Kelly Cup. But TJ Fergus, you know, he comes from his dad, Tom Furse, I think played 13 years in the NHL.
Yep.
And he's just a mobile, intelligent, good puck-moving defenseman that we're excited to see.
Brad Routh is with us.
I remember watching his dad play for the Bruins for a number of years, and what a tough SOB he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Talking with Brad Routh, the head coach of the Everblades, with Sheeman DeShepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. So Wednesday, you got the Grizzlies at home, and you got 4 games in 5 days. Talk about how you're going to, you know, manage the time with the travel, and obviously, I guess, not practicing as much. You got to be rested for the next game the next day, but how are you going to handle this next week?
Yeah, it's not easy. Utah's coming in. They're one of the best teams in the league. They've got a great affiliate in the Colorado Avalanche and the Colorado Eagles, so they're a team that's just very talented. They'll be similar to Orlando in how they play. So we're going to have to be great defensively and, you know, just find a way to kind of mitigate their speed. But again, I think it's just, you know, managing the week. If you win that first game of the week, it sets you up for success and takes a lot of the pressure off, which can drain you of energy. So we'll be stressing to make sure we find a way to win tomorrow. And then when you get to Greenville, just, you know, one game at a time. And usually on that Sunday, that fourth game, you're adjusting your style of play. You're being a little more passive, a little more patient defensively, trying to prey on mistakes versus being the aggressor and putting them on the heels. So that's, you know, a little bit on how we manage the week.
Well, Blake Wernicke's goal that opened the scoring in the 3-2-1 over Atlanta, his 100th goal of his professional career, goes by quick, doesn't it?
Yeah. They all do. It's nice to see those milestones just to, I guess, get a feel for, you know, what you've been doing. And but Blake's been a great soldier for us. He's having a heck of a year. He was represented us at the All-Star game as well. So nice to see Blake, you know, just continue his scoring ways when he got back from that. And that was a big goal to get us on the board and start off what was ended up being a great night.
Well, Coach, we always enjoy our conversations. Wish you the best of luck on this next stretch, and we'll talk to you in a week or so.
Thanks, yep, Coach. Great talking to you guys.
I appreciate that. That's Brad Ralph, the head coach of the Everblades. Again, they are home against the Grizzlies at Hertz Arena on Wednesday night and then hit the road taking on the Swamp Rabbits.
You would have I'm not kidding about his father. His father was a tough son of a gun, a really, really good center on some good Bruins teams, man. He could put the puck in the net. I hated when they traded him back when I was a teenager, traded him to Toronto, but he had some great years with the Bruins. I'm talking, and he scored 30 goals, 31 goals, 25. I mean, he was amazing, a really, really good player. So if his son is anything close to his dad, look out.
See, you're getting old, talking about fathers and sons. Just like Tom Brady used to say, hey, I beat your dad's ass, too. All right. All right, it is it's time for us to play Wikipedia, and then coming up at 5, we're going to get into that Urban Meyer sound. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't heard it yet. Sean Payton is still going. He was true to his word when he said he was going to stay till every last question was answered as he steps down as the head coach of the Saints today. Today, we've done this before, but I've tweaked up the questions before.
No,
I think you should see if you learn from your mistakes.
How many touchdowns did Julio Jones catch?
Oh, God.
I don't know. I was just guessing.
It was yesterday.
I haven't seen it yet because Craig hasn't given me Wikipedia still.
Today is the anniversary of when Ray Kroc bought the Padres in 1974 for $12 million.
The chicken.
So, no, well, yeah, the San Diego Chickens.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, of course, he's more known for owning McDonald's. We're going to have just McDonald's trivia, menu, characters, that kind of. We've done it before.
Oh,
had a little fun with it. Just do a little left turn here today. It is brought to you, I believe, by Biggie's Place. Both are on the thing
again.
Can I
not fix that again?
No,
goodness gracious.
No,
it's Biggie's Place.
There's no editing supervising control over these things.
To be honest with you, I didn't really change a lot from yesterday to today.
It's all cut and paste. It's brought to you by Biggie's Place on Fowler Street in Fort Myers. What we need is caller number 9. I hope Biggie's Place doesn't mind us doing McDonald's trivia. So we'll do McDonald's trivia, but you go eat at Biggie's Place.
Yeah, yeah, get something delicious.
Yeah, get some actual good food. So 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776 is the number. Caller number 9, Sheeman and Shepherd, Wikipedia, ESPN, Southwest Florida.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, here we go. Again, this is the anniversary. 1974, Ray Kroc bought the Padres for $12 million. Ray made his real money as the owner of McDonald's. So we will do McDonald's trivia for Biggie's Place. Pete, you are not going to believe who caller number 9 is. Ladies and gentlemen, Harry Carey! Oh,
wow.
Hey, guys. How's it going, love? I don't even know what day it is. Who cares?
Harry, I thought about you all weekend with the Buffalo Bills' demise. You had that game won like 3 times.
Oh, you don't have to remind me, Chris, Craig, whoever I'm talking to. I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of Bills games in my life, but that one was probably the most exciting and can't say it's worse than the Super Bowl wide ride, but it's right up there.
Well,
I felt for you.
All right.
If I could have loved Josh Allen enough, now I've gone full nuclear man crush. That guy's awesome.
He's awesome. Your special teams, I would not have kicked the touchback with 13 seconds. That was the whole game right there.
Well, I think we'll be looking for a new special teams coordinator if I had to guess.
Maybe.
How'd you like Leslie Frazier's play calling in the overtime with the prevent defense?
We're just pouring salt on the wound here.
what play calling? And 39 points dropped out of it. Those guys probably couldn't even have pulled up their pants after using the bathroom. They were so tired.
Probably. Let's see if we can cheer you up with a little prize here. I'm going to do some trivia about McDonald's. Harry, when's the last time you've been to McDonald's?
I actually stopped at McDonald's before the game for the boys.
Oh, really? Okay.
We're out wasting time until the game. Did a little Pokemon hunting with the Dicks for some new basketball gloves.
Oh, I like it. All right. Well, Harry, you know how this goes. First one to 3 correct answers is the winner, and you get to go first. Here's your first question. What?
Fire away, Craig.
All right. What movie series was part of the first Happy Meal promotion in 1979?
Was it Star Wars?
Ooh, close. Star.
I was born in 1980. Trek. That's tough on me, that one.
It was Star Trek. It was Star yeah. Trek. All right, that's all right.
All those stars, those Bill mixed up.
You're close. Pete Shepard.
Yeah.
The first McDonald's was where? I just need a state.
Was in. Hang on, I'm trying to go back. I'm going back to the movie again. I want to say it was in Arizona.
No, Harry Carey with a chance to steal. Can you tell me what state the first McDonald's was?
Was it in California?
That is correct. Yeah. Harry with a steal. San Bernardino, California.
I couldn't remember if they called it McDonald's. I couldn't remember if they called it McDonald's in California or it was something else, and then they switched it to McDonald's.
All of the above. All right. 1-0 Harry Carey. This question is for Harry. Which character originally had four arms? Which McDonald's character?
Is that the Grimace?
Yes, Grimace. Pete's in a hole now. 2-0 Harry Carey.
No, he missed the first question.
Yeah, but he stole.
Creeping up with two.
He stole on the question two. Got his first point.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you're in a hole. All right, now.
I'm trying to get a Hurt Locker already, Pete.
That's right. Now, Pete, we just talked about Grimace.
Yeah.
What did Grimace like to steal?
I don't remember. I'm sorry, it's food. Oh, French fries.
No, Harry Carey, if he steals it, he wins. What did Grimace like to steal back in the day?
What? That's a tough. Is it pickles?
No. It was milkshakes. He loved the McDonald's milkshakes.
Oh, it's a good guess, though. Pickles.
Yeah. All right.
I like McDonald's milkshakes, too. They're pretty good.
Yeah. All right. This one is for Harry for the win. Harry, what color was Hamburglar's hair?
Is he a ginger? Is his hair red?
Yes! We've got a winner! 3-0, a sweep! Yeah. Harry Carey, everybody!
Good job.
That's right. Growing up, an offensive and defensive lineman of America, I used to spend quite a bit of time at McDonald's.
Yeah. I spent some of my childhood there myself. Exactly. All right. Well, I hope that makes the pain of the Bills' loss a little less burdensome. A victory today in Wikipedia.
It makes me feel a little better. I have people texting me saying that. We hadn't heard from you. We're making sure you're okay.
We got a lot of that here at the station, too. People were wondering how you were. We heard from Art the Bills fan in hour one right away, but people were wanting to know if you were okay.
I'm all right. It's better than going out and getting drubbed by 30 points against the Patriots. If you're going to be in the game, it might as well be one of the best games of all time.
Yeah.
Somebody had to lose.
Yeah. That was tough.
It was exciting, though.
It was.
Yes, it was.
Very exciting. All right, listen.
Well, guys, we had a new level. Sorry about your luck, Pete. One of my specialties is McDonald's, even though I don't eat it anymore.
I should have got the California one. I
went this week.
All right.
Comes with.
Talk to you Friday, Harry. Appreciate it. All right. I got more.
A lot more.
What did McDonald's add to Happy Meals in 2011?
Toy?
No, they already did the toy. In 2011, they wanted to make it
healthy. Oh, apple slices, right?
The apple slices.
It's a good addition. Parent, it was a good addition.
Sure. Name their signature burger.
Big Mac.
That is correct. You missed this last year. What famous weatherman played the original Ronald McDonald?
Oh, I know. what's his name from the Today Show?
Yeah, that guy.
Willard Scott.
Willard Scott is the correct answer. what is their best-selling menu item?
Got to be French fries.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
What is a quarter pounder called in France?
Le quarter kilo.
No, it's not. It's not quarter pounder in French. No.
No, I know that.
Oh, quarter kilo, right?
No, it's no.
They're in the metric.
No.
Not even I'm trying to think.
It's not a French translation. You're overthinking it.
No, I am. I don't know.
Royal cheese. They call the quarter pounder royal cheese in France, which makes no sense at all.
I can't confirm that. Well, there was a royal family.
What's a
of
Big
France.
Mac called?
I don't know.
What's a Big Mac called in France?
I don't know. All right, final question. The highest caloric item on the menu would be?
I got a problem with this
answer. Oh, that's going to be.
Because it's the number.
Yep.
You got to order.
It's got to be like a double quarter pounder or something like that.
Well, they have it listed as the 40-piece McNugget, but I didn't know they offered a 40. I thought the 20 was the
big
one.
I got a problem with that answer because by definition, it is not a single item. It is 40 items.
Okay.
If I go through, if I have 40.
Would you count your French fries?
No, but I'm saying if I have 40 2-liter bottles of soda,
yeah.
I don't go in the 10 items or less lane because it's just one. It's 40 items.
But you have a caloric value on a large fry, but you don't do it per fry.
They should break it down per fry.
That's
anyway. I think a double quarter pounder with cheese is, but.
Well, the 40-piece nugget, again, I argue with this
question. But they
don't
offer 40-piece nuggets.
Because they offer a 20, I know.
Unless they don't even offer 40-piece nuggets.
I agree with you. I would agree. But, by the way, it's 1,880 calories.
Okay, I want the 60-piece McNugget.
You got to get 320s.
320s.
Well, then there's no 40, or else
that's
I want
what
a 40.
I mean. There is no 40.
I'm not fighting you guys on this question. I don't like the question either.
But I stole it.
I stole it. And I knew it wouldn't matter by the time we got to the 11th question. This thing would be a wrap. So it is. All right. Is Sean Payton finally done? Good Lord. An hour-long press conference, stepping down as the head coach of the Saints. 5 o'clock hour. We still have not heard Urban Meyer.
Ooh, keto McDonald's.
What?
Yeah.
What? What's keto? Is that plant
keto
food?
Keto fast food McDonald's options.
Yeah, just don't eat the bread.
Well,
most of it.
The picture here is a McGriddle, which I don't think is keto friendly, but I don't know.
What is keto exactly? Is that just protein or it's not, I don't know what keto diet is.
I thought it was like no carbs, but that's
all carbs.
Yeah.
It's not quite like, Atkins, but it's close.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
I love a McGriddle.
Do you?
Yeah. I think they get a bad rap. I think that and the McRib get bad raps.
I used to love McRibs when I was a kid.
Oh God! Really?
When I was a kid, I couldn't stand them now.
Yeah, it's fake, but like that, you know, it's fake going into it.
Now, as a kid, I didn't go there. I just ate it.
It's like going and watching like a scary movie. It's not an actual scary movie. You know, it's a spoof.
Funny,
it's a joke of itself. That's like a McRib. It's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to love the McRib when I was a kid, but All right. We want to hear from Urban Meyer and who he blames for his demise in Jacksonville. I've not heard this yet. I've been teasing it all day. I'm excited for it. I want to hear this myself. You can hear it with us. 5 o'clock hour on a Tuesday coming up. Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.